in your Bibles, Revelation chapter number 7, verse number 14. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 14. Tonight, I want to deal with, in our series of Signs of the Times, I would like to deal with the subject of Bible descriptions of the tribulation period. Bible descriptions of the tribulation period. In the midst of this study, we have answered a lot of questions. We have answered what are some of the signs of the times right now. Falling away, times of Noah, times of Lot. All three of those are clear in the scriptures that that will be what the world looks like when Jesus Christ comes back in the rapture. We have answered, does anything have to happen before the rapture? The answer to that is no. Rapture is the next thing that is on God's calendar to happen. Will believers today have the choice to take the mark? The answer is no. That's not going to take place until the middle of the tribulations. Will believers know who the Antichrist is? The answer is no. You may have suspicions, but you won't know. He won't be revealed until the church is taken out of the way in the raptures. Will believers be around for any part of the tribulation? And the answer is no, because the church is going to be taken out of the way. And one of the descriptions of the tribulation will verify that. You'll have a stronger argument tonight on that, another argument, I should say, on believers being gone before the tribulation takes place. How bad will it get before Christ comes back? We've looked at some of those things in the days of Lot and the days of Noah. Are the rapture and the second coming of Christ the same things? And we dealt with that and showed that one is taking place before the tribulation, that being the rapture, and the second coming is taking place after the tribulation. They're two distinct events. The rapture, Jesus comes in the clouds, never touches his feet on this earth. The second coming, he comes, touches his feet on the Mount of Olives and fights the battle of Armageddon and sets up his millennial reign. Last week we looked at the question of what is the meaning of the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. The difference, the day of Christ referring to the judgment seat of Christ, the rapture, the day of the Lord referring to that time from the tribulation all the way until God burns the whole old world up and creates a new Jerusalem. Day of the Lord being all of that time. What is the abomination of desolation? We dealt with that, and that being when the Antichrist breaks the covenant with Israel at the midpoint of the tribulation and sets up his rulership of the temple to have people come and worship him right in Jerusalem, and that's going to take place midway through the tribulation. Last week we dealt with what happens to babies and small children that do not have the understanding to know Christ at the rapture, and we learn that God says the innocent belong to him. And great comfort for families with small children. But nonetheless, parents of small children, get those kids the gospel and get it to them over and over and over again. We still pray that at the earliest chance that they have understanding that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would not wait to give the gospel to small children. I'd start it right out of the womb. I'd start it when I was rocking them to sleep before they're 1 year old. I'd be telling them about Jesus and that Jesus died for them and that they're sinners and they need Christ. Get it to them early. Let me begin tonight's message by asking this question. How many of you here tonight believe that the Bible is totally inspired by God, that it is inerrant and it is without any mistakes? You would say, I affirm that, all right? I do too. And if you don't affirm that, you're in the wrong church, or you need to talk, we need to talk, and I need to give you some Bible truth that you can come to that position, which is a biblical position. If you do, then you must believe the doctrines and teachings of the Scripture. You must believe what the Bible says about sin. You must believe what the Bible says about death. You must believe what the Bible says about the resurrection. You must believe what the Bible says about the rapture. And you must believe what the Bible has to say about the tribulation. All of it is equal truth. All of it is 100% truth. Tonight we're going to deal with the Bible descriptions of the 7-year tribulation. We'll look at different Bible terms tonight. It is a time that no one wants to have to endure or to go through. It takes place following the rapture. It will kick off with the Antichrist being revealed and the signing of a covenant with Israel. That's how the 7 years will kick off. In the last 3.5 years of tribulation, God will pour out his greatest judgments that he's ever poured out on this earth. And I want you to know the biblical terminology that is synonymous with the 7-year tribulation period. First term that is associated with that is the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There are going to be people that come out of the great tribulation, and the Bible speaks about that. In Matthew chapter 24, turn to Matthew chapter 24 tonight. One of the terms that describes the tribulation period is the phrase great tribulation. When it's saying great tribulation, as it does in Matthew chapter 24, it means it's historical. You say, "Preacher, we got some things happening right now that are historical. We got some things that I've never seen in my lifetime." Be glad you're not going to be around in the tribulation period, because you think things are different now. Wait till God pours his 28 judgments out on this earth. Here's how the Bible describes that time. In verse number 21, the Bible says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time." Now, I'm thinking back to the beginning of this world. I'm thinking back to the 10 plagues. I'm thinking back to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm thinking back to a worldwide flood. And the Bible compares the tribulation period and looks at all of those world events throughout history and says there's never been a time like there's going to be in the tribulation period. I think the flood was a pretty bad time. I can't picture those people in those waters drowning by the thousands and yea millions. And yet it happened. But the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." It's interesting here that this is one of the definitions. There's another definition, or there's another phrase that includes or encompasses the tribulation, and that is the day of the Lord. We've already talked a little bit about this, but turn in your Bibles to chapter number 13. Isaiah chapter number 13 tonight. In Isaiah chapter 13, in verses 9 through 11, the Bible says this. And again, the day of the Lord includes that time of tribulation all the way to the end after the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ burns up the heavens and the earth as we know it, and a new heaven and a new earth come down. But look at this. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Verse number 11. "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Think about this. The 28 judgments, part of the day of the Lord, which would be the 7 years of tribulation, known as the Great Tribulation. And after all of that takes place, people are still going to shake their fist in the face of God. And so God's wrath is going to go one more step and his anger, and Jesus is going to come back for the second coming after the tribulation, and he's going to fight a battle that destroys all the nations of the world. The battle of Armageddon, where the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. I told you I've been to the battle, or to Jezreel, and you can look in every direction and you can't see an end to it. And I sat there that day on top looking over the valley and thought to myself, blood up to the horse's bridle, for as far as you can see in every direction. My brother, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, there's a lot coming down the pike from the hands of an almighty God that's going to get to this point with mankind. And the tribulation is coming. There's a third terminology that the Bible refers to in that's synonymous with the tribulation period, and that is the time of Jacob's trouble. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 30 tonight, and I want you to look at verse number 7. Now, you need to understand in the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and we'll also look at Zephaniah tonight, that most of these prophets are talking about something that's going to happen to Judah or Israel or a combination of both in the near future when they're writing. We call it a partial fulfillment or a near fulfillment, but they are also writing about the end. And there is a complete, or there is a future fulfillment that they are writing about. That's true of Jeremiah's writing here in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7. It says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Another name given to the time of tribulation is called Jacob's trouble. And it helps us to understand one of the divine purposes for the time of tribulation, and that is God is now going to bring Israel back to deal with them. And he's going to deal with them in great trouble during the tribulation. But I want you to know, there's still a plan of redemption during the tribulation. Interesting that God's going to bring the greatest judgments the world has ever seen and still going to save people in the tribulation period. Amazing to me, but he's going to deal with his people. He's going to deal with Jacob. Jacob, meaning Israel. The Jewish people is the primary people that God's dealing with in the tribulation period. It's important to understand the synonymous terms. It helps us to understand description and purposes and what's taking place in the tribulation. In Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1, it doesn't talk about it as Jacob's trouble, but it does talk about the tribulation as a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 12, hey, this tribulation period is going to be a time that you've never seen before, showing us the seriousness of this time. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. There's another description, another term that is synonymous with the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period. It's known as the hour of temptation. Now, this phraseology, you need to understand that when we're dealing with Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, we're dealing with the seven churches, okay? The seven churches of Asia Minor. So certainly, when he's writing to these churches, he is dealing with these churches about an hour of temptation. But this is also very clear that he's dealing with the tribulation period and the local church. All right? In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, look at it with me. Because, he's dealing with the church at Philadelphia now, "because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world." Now wait, how many events do you know of in world history that comes upon all the world? Not a whole lot. That comes upon all the world. What is the event, Revelation speaking obviously also into the future, what is the event that we know is coming upon all the world in the future? Tribulation. Tribulation. All right? He says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation." That means he's going to keep us out of it. He's going to keep us out of the mess of judgment. Brethren, there are all kinds of wacky views today on post-tribulation doctrine, on pre-wrath doctrine, on mid-tribulation. But here the Bible's very clear to the church that he's going to keep them from the hour of temptation. They're never going to see that. Thank God, dear Christian, tonight that we have a promise. Jesus speaks these words, and he says to the church, "I will keep thee from that hour." Thank God for that. The language of this verse indicates a trial of universal extent, not just a local outbreak of persecution in the region in which the church at Philadelphia was experiencing life, but the whole world will see this. Notice it's a promise from God, "I will keep thee." The scripture nowhere envisions a worse situation on earth than the one that will arise when the beast reigns and the great tribulation begins. But I want you to understand, even in that situation, God is in control. I want you to understand, the worst part of the tribulation, God hasn't given up an inch of control. God is sovereign in the very worst days the world will ever see. He guarantees that he'll be sovereign and pull the church out of the way in the rapture. Aren't you glad you serve a sovereign God tonight that makes a promise to you that says, hey, here's what's coming. But I'm sovereign, and I'll keep you from that hour. Wonderful, wonderful truth. It's also called, the tribulation period is also called the day of wrath. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. We'll finish tonight. I won't get to the 70 weeks. We'll get into that next week. But the day of wrath, Zephaniah chapter number 1. Zephaniah is prophesying here to give you some background so we understand context. Context is important. I was meeting with Todd Keith the other week. He's doing a hermeneutics project. And he said, Pastor, I'm supposed to interview my pastor for 10, 15 minutes on how to interpret a passage. And I told Todd Keith, point number one, context trumps everything. Context is important to interpretation. Zephaniah is writing shortly after 622 BC, the year of Josiah's partial revival. The day of the Lord was in fact imminent as far as Judah coming under Babylon into captivity. So he's writing about a near fulfillment again. By the way, Josiah, a godly king, if you study it in 2 Kings 22, God used Josiah to extend grace to Judah for an extra 36 years. When Josiah died, captivity came. Brethren, I'm not trying to read into things, but I want you to understand the leadership that we have in place right now has been an extension of God's grace to America. Just like Josiah brought and God used him to extend his grace with the people of Judah. That's the background there. Let me give you verse number 14 because there's also a future fulfillment to this, speaking of the end time. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse number 18 says, but the whole land shall be devoured. I want you to understand that those days that come in the tribulation period, also known as the day of wrath, are going to be dark days. They're going to be days full of distress. They're going to be days full of trouble. I could say a lot more here in Zephaniah, but I need to wrap up tonight. Where should that bring us as believers? You say, preacher, this is all good knowledge, but beyond that, what does the tribulation mean to us? The short answer to this question is that to the born-again Christian, the tribulation period should be very significant to us. As born-again Christians, we will not face it. The Bible is clear that Christians will go to glory to be with Christ. But our responsibility is to those around us. Cain asked the question about Abel after slaying him, am I my brother's keeper? After he killed his brother. And I would like to argue tonight that we are our brother's keeper when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of our glorious Lord with others. And brethren, the next event is the rapture. That takes place at any moment. And the tribulation follows. Do you realize, have you thought about it this way, that your neighbor could be 2 days away from the tribulation? Rapture's gone. It's over. Now, they're going through judgment. And so with that, oh, I could blow that off. It's not for me. No, you better not blow it off. You know someone. I know someone.